All right, lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You might have heard about a pretty big matchup at Autzen this week. It's Husky Week. What better way to see what's up with the Dogs than the guy who for many years covered Oregon for the Register Guard, now doing his thing for the Seattle Times. On Twitter, use the handle @A_Jude. Adam Jude joins us. Adam, how are things?
Steve, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Always our pleasure. So I always check my timeline, so 5 years since you got the gig at the Seattle Times, and I'm always curious, how unique is it to be able to, you know, return to where you grow up, raise your family, and do this kind of a job in your old domain?
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. Yeah, believe it or not, this is my sixth season already covering the Huskies. I was down in Eugene for 14 years, started the family down there and continued it up here. My wife and I are both from up here, so it's been pretty incredible being back in the area here, and been a lot of fun. And looking forward to getting back down to Eugene, though. Certainly one of my favorite places, a lot of fond memories, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun Saturday afternoon for everybody in Austin Stadium.
So this rivalry is taking some amazing turns. You know, Washington dominates, then the mid to late 90s, it's cutthroat, then Oregon dominates, then the Huskies crushed the last 2 years, and obviously your listeners, those you hear from on social media. What's kind of the buzz about this being really kind of the first knockdown dragout where both teams have so much on the line in a long time?
Yeah, I've been looking at that this week. I mean, I was in Austin Stadium in 2000, you know, when Washington came to town, Marcus Triasostopo, and the Ducks knocked them off, and that was Washington's only loss that year, a team that went on to beat Drew Brees in the Rose Bowl that year and end up being that crazy three-way tie, Oregon State, Oregon, and Washington that year. And that's the last time since we've really had a truly competitive game in this rivalry, and it's so weird to think about, you know, the history of these two programs where, you know, their success has been at the expense usually of their biggest rival. And so, yes, fun to have it now where both teams, both programs, both fan bases are coming in pretty confident, obviously a little wary as well, but it does feel like a handful of plays could make the difference either way on Saturday, and I think both teams have a really good shot at this and have reason to feel really confident going into this one.
Now, during the offseason, Chris Peterson hired a new offensive coordinator. Bush Hamden had worked for him 2015-16, actually was working with Matt Ryan and the Falcons last year, and played under Coach Pete at Boise State. What could you tell us about bringing him back and maybe the kind of impact he's had on this year's offense?
Yeah, I mean, there have been some wrinkles and different schematic things that are more subtle than anything. Because look, let's be honest, this is Chris Peterson's offense. It always has been, and it probably always will be.
Right.
So that part hasn't changed, you know. And it's for as much as we think about Chris Peterson and the trick plays and the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma way back when. I mean, he's really a pretty conservative guy at heart. They want to run the ball, and they've been able to do that pretty successfully the past 2 years with Myles Gaskin. So they're going to try to establish the run, certainly, in any game, but they want to be balanced as well, and they feel like they can do that, you know, with Jake Browning, too. And they had a really unproven wide receiving core coming into this season. That was maybe the biggest question mark about this entire team coming into the season. But those guys have really emerged. Aaron Fuller has been one of the best receivers in the Pac-12. He's a really good story. And again, when you talk about Bush Hamden, a guy who goes back to Boise State days, he was Kellen Moore's backup at Boise State. So he has a long history with Chris Peterson in this offense. Again, it's nothing really really sexy, nothing crazy. I mean, they're going to throw a lot of tight ends. You'll see three tight ends on the field a lot. They love to motion those guys, move it around. A lot of play action. Jake Browning, the one thing we have seen a lot more of this year is he'll go under center maybe upwards of half the time now. They really feel like that adds another dimension to the run game, and then it sets up that play action pass a lot, which they've had a lot of success with. So, again, not any wholesale changes, but some subtle things in the RPO game and all that that's really popular and trendy. But it's going to be, they want to be a really balanced offense overall.
Oregon fans are like, what is this under center Adam speaks of? talking Husky football with Adam Judah, the Seattle Times. No question, the season began with a jolt. I mean, Trey Adams, stud left tackle, goes out. I know the line coach, Scott Huff, plugged in the junior, Jared Hilbers. But aside from Nick Harris missing the North Dakota game, he's been able to start the same five every other game since Auburn. How are the coaches feeling about the play of the line as things have kind of stabilized?
Yeah, they got really battle-tested early in the season, and really terrible timing for Trey Adams to go down when he did, you know, potential top 10 pick in the NFL draft, and he's going to be out for most of the season. And they had to plug in Jared Hilbers, the first-time starter at left tackle, kid out of Beaverton High School. And he's been up and down a little bit. I think he's been fine. But when you go on the road, essentially, and play a defense and a defensive front like they saw against Auburn, you're going to get exposed a little bit, and they were. And then they had to go to Utah for their Pac-12 opener just a couple weeks later in mid-September. And we know how good Utah's defense has consistently been for several years now. So those guys, it's been up and down a little bit, but I think they've kind of leveled off, and they've been pretty good the last couple weeks. That said, they have a lot of respect, and they know that Oregon's defensive front is really aggressive. They've got some studs there on Oregon's defense, and I think it's going to be another challenge for those guys. It's a pretty young offensive line. They got Caleb McGarry at right tackle, who's been a four-year starter. But other than that, they've had a lot of moving pieces and moving parts. And for me, that's definitely one of the keys to this game on both sides of the ball.
Adam, you know from your time here, Chip Kelly could be playing Alabama for the national title or Lane Community College, and it would have been faceless opponent. Mario Cristobal's embracing the rivalry. So what is Coach Peterson saying about the magnitude of this game versus maybe what he's done for his quarterback, kind of almost a counter philosophy?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's no surprise at this point. Chris Peterson, he's never been a guy who likes to talk much anyway. And obviously, a guy who, you know, was an Oregon assistant coach on Mike Bellotti's staff for 6 years there in the 90s. And I remember talking to Joey Harrington a couple years ago, and he was talking about, you know, how influential and how much Chris Peterson meant to him during his college days when Peterson was the wide receivers coach with the Ducks. And so nobody knows this rivalry better than Chris Peterson, right? I mean, he was on the sideline there at Austin for years, and now the head coach in his fifth season up at Washington, and yet he's not a guy who's going to fan the flames by any means. Again, you know what to expect going into weeks like this. He does the same thing during Apple Cup week. He's not quite on the same level as Chip was. He doesn't say faceless opponent. He'll at least acknowledge the rivalry, but he does shut down the media interviews for the majority of the team. They only made four players available this week. You know, some veteran guys Peterson knows he can trust not to say something stupid. They don't have any, unfortunately, they don't have any Keith Lewis's on the roster up here willing to kind of spout off on local radio, which makes our job, in the media a lot more interesting, a lot easier, and I think it's a lot more fun for the fans. But I get it. This day and age, obviously, social media things blow up immediately, and the smallest thing can turn into something substantial. So Chris Peterson is staff up here. It's the tack that they've taken. I don't always agree with it, don't always like it, but it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to complain about it either.
Talking Washington football with Adam Judah, the Seattle Times. We know Jake Browning passed Cody Pickett, the all-time leader in passing yards. Took some licks against Auburn, really sharp, efficient against Arizona State and BYU. And I've seen a lot of his games, maybe some inconsistencies. How would you evaluate the way he's played mostly this season?
Yeah, see, I think that's fair. Some inconsistencies. There was a one play against Utah late in the game where he was backpedaling and tried to make some hero throw and ended up in the, you know, as he was getting hit, ended up in the hands of a Utah defensive lineman. It was a not top 10 play, I think, because it looked like a sure pick six and the Utah defensive lineman dropped it out of bounds, you know, inside the 10-yard line. And Utah never ended up scoring on that play, but or on that drive. And, Browning's made a few of those plays in his career where, you know, he's kind of a never-quit sort of guy, right? He wants to make every play. He's got that that attitude of, you know, I can make this happen, and he's going to scramble around a little bit. But they've really, since that Utah game and that play specifically, they really worked on him with that, not to back up, not to backpedal. He's actually pretty good for a guy who is, let's be honest, not the most athletic quarterback. He's always been pretty good about getting some sneaky yards on the ground and been pretty good moving in the pocket. And so they've worked with him on not moving backwards, but moving laterally or up in the pocket. And he's been really good at that. And we've seen the adjustment the past couple of weeks. And like you said, he's been really efficient. That's Browning's game. Again, he's not a guy who's going to rifle it all over the field. He's got a good arm, but the knock on him has always been his arm strength. Some of that's been overstated, but he doesn't have Justin Herbert's arm or size or athleticism. But what he does have, and the experience he has, his ability to read defenses and know what to expect and anticipate, those are always been his strengths, and they continue to be his strengths this year. And we'll see. Again, going into a hostile environment like this, I know Austin Stadium is going to be riled up. Look, the points, I've seen that picture probably 1,000 times this week, and in the media and on social media, no one's forgotten about that. As hard as the Huskies have tried to downplay it this week, that's obviously a big storyline coming into this one. We know Oregon's going to be riled up, and Jake Browning's going to have to be prepared for that.
Let's get to the defense, which I've been saying is the class of the Pac-12, much to the chagrin of many listeners. Jimmy Lake took over the play calling from Coach Kwiatkowski, who's now co-defensive coordinator. We know how experienced they are. What kind of impact has Lake had on what is a really strong group, or would you really have to notice subtle differences?
Yeah, again, it's subtle stuff. I think if you were the tip average fan and just looking at last year, the last 4 years, comparing it to this year, you wouldn't necessarily notice anything substantial. But he has brought some new blitz packages, some new wrinkles in that regard. And you know, he's a guy who's coached that secondary now for 5 years, and he has a lot of confidence in his guys in the secondary. And I think it's pretty telling that Taylor Rapp, their all Pac-12, free safety, leads the team in sacks right now. And so they've gotten really creative. Jimmy Lake has gotten really creative in how he brings that pressure. They don't like to blitz a ton. And again, Pete Kwiatkowski, much like Chris Peterson, was pretty conservative in his play calling defensively the last handful of years. And so the one thing maybe Jimmy Lake has been is a little more aggressive when it comes to bringing pressure, in part because I think that's kind of his personality on the one hand, but also because that's just not their strength this year. They don't have that one dude on the edge who you know can get after the quarterback and get you at one sack every game or really affect the quarterback consistently. So that, for me, as much as anything going into Saturday, is the biggest question from the Huskies' perspective. Can they make Justin Herbert uncomfortable? Can they get him off his spot? Can they affect him in the backfield a little bit? They know how athletic, they know how fast, how good Justin Herbert is moving in the pocket. Can they keep him in the pocket? Can they contain him? Can they make him uncomfortable? For me, that might be question number one going into this game.
All right, Adam, lastly, regardless of who's calling signals, from this crazy good performance against Arizona State, his ability to strip the ball, how next level has the inside linebacker Ben Burkhervin gone so far here in 2018?
Yeah, it's funny you use the term next level, because he's just the classic college player, a guy who's so good at this level. Looks like an All-American, certainly putting up All-American-type numbers. I think he leads the Pac-12 in tackles. They're certainly right there. He had 20 in one game. A few weeks ago, another 15 last week against UCLA. And yet, because he's only about 6 feet, 220 pounds, he just doesn't have that size that's really going to play at the next level. Maybe he'll, because he's so fast, he can get a chance to play and contribute on special teams at the next level a little bit. But not a guy I'm hearing from scouts at all, at the next level. But, he's truly one of those, classic great college players, and he means everything to this defense right now, just all over the field. There look like plays. There were a couple of them last week down in the Rose Bowl where, Chip Kelly called the right play at the right time. It looked like they had a big play, and all of a sudden there comes Ben Burkhervin from the other side of the field. How did he get there and making the tackle and kind of saving the defense a little bit? So that guy's been all over the place. They're really thin at inside linebacker right now, so he's almost never leaving the field. And like I said, he's the MVP of this defense, if not the entire team. Ben Burkhoven is so far this year.
Folks, keep an eye out. He's number 25. This guy's Adam Jude of the Seattle Times. Follow along on Twitter. The handle @A_Jude, online, seattletimes.com. Adam, always great catching up. Looking forward to chatting with you on Press Row.
Perfect. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you having me.
All right, take it easy.